The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Great to have you. Welcome in. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone with you on a Saturday morning. It's been a week. Feels like an eternity. Glad to be back. And a little pit stop today for the weekend edition, and then back Tuesday after the New Year's festivities. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865 on Twitter. Can find us at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at Mark Skurs. Now, action star Colton Stone, he's fired up to be here. He's kind of got the old hammer and chisel and got that sleep out of his eyes. I don't know that he's missed me, but happy to be back. Had a week to chill. Went out to Western Nebraska, saw my grandparents, took Junior out there to see great-grandma and grandpa. Watched a few bowl games with the family. Lots gone on in the week. We'll get to Tanner Lee. We'll get to Central Florida v. Auburn. We'll talk Big Ten. And the Big Ten is 5-0 with three more chances to keep things perfect. Michigan, South Carolina, Penn State, Washington later today. Miami and Wisconsin tonight. Good setup here. You got a couple of big-time college football games, doubleheader, 3-7 Central Time, little NFL tomorrow. And Kranak's resetting his modem and will dial us back in 2 minutes. So we'll run him down in just a bit. But let's talk about Tanner Lee. That's the news that came out. And there's been a lot of support by Nebraska fans for Tanner Lee. A lot of support for Nebraska fans, a lot of support from Scott Frost for Tanner Lee. As Tanner spoke with Rivals, we are waiting to hear back whether or not Tanner can come on at 8:45 today or not. We'll cross our fingers for that. Coming up next hour, Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues is down in Atlanta getting ready for the Peach Bowl, and we'll get caught up with him. He's been part of the press festivities down there. The Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, will be with us. And we'll also do a rewind here coming up in about 15 minutes or so with Kyle Woodall. He is down at Butler. He's the linebacker's coach. He is Will Honus's coach. So that is part of our rewind segment coming up here around 7:25 or so. But let's talk Tanner Lee. And he spoke with Rivals. And it was a process that, you know, Tanner on social media came out and prayed about and was very thankful to Nebraska, very thankful to the Nebraska fans. And it was something that he had to really weigh, he had to look at. And when you put your name in and you get that evaluation, whether to go and explore the NFL or to come back, guys will either get that first or second round grade or they won't. Third through seventh, it could be a crapshoot. Do I need to remind you that Josh Rosen may go? That Baker Mayfield will go? That Josh Allen will go? That Sam Darnold, he's trying to figure it out. And he looked awful last night. That's what a sick front seven will do for you if you're Ohio State. But Tanner Lee, when he talked with Coach Frost, Frost says, look, we don't know each other that well. I can't tell you what to do, but I got your back. I'll be there for you. I'd love to have you back. And Scott was straight up honest with him. When I think of Tanner Lee in the Scott Frost offense, I think he can hit passes. I don't know that he's good with the option game. I look at Tanner Lee, and when the NFL guys sit him down and work him out, they're going to look at two things: how he handled adversity, and they're going to look at what he can do. He's 6'4", and he can throw the ball. And he's a guy in a season where it looked like Nebraska folded their tent to go 4-8. He never folded his tent. And without Tanner Lee, 4-8 looks great, to be honest. Think of life without Tanner Lee. Great, I'm going to bring you in here. Hope you got me. And let's talk a little bit here about Tanner Lee, your thoughts on his decision. I think it's the right move for him. I think he's a guy that is extremely draftable. And it's all about falling in love with one team and one team falling in love with you. And is Tanner Lee going to be a guy who starts? I don't know. Is Tanner Lee going to be a guy that will make a roster? I think that's pretty fair to say, yeah, Tanner Lee can absolutely make a roster because what he can do is something that a lot of quarterbacks coming in don't do or haven't done. He's done more of a pro-style offense compared to guys that are just sick physically and in that talent realm of Josh Allen. He's been in a pro style, obviously, but Baker Mayfield and Rosen and Darnold's been in a pro style. But I look at Lee and I look at this quarterback class, as top heavy as it is, there's guys like Tanner Lee that could go third, fourth, fifth, sixth round, find a roster, impress somebody. Even if he doesn't make it with the initial team, he could catch on somewhere else. And there's stories of quarterbacks who kind of come out of nowhere all the time. Tanner Lee, this is a good call for you. I support it. Kranak, what do you say?
Yeah, it makes sense for him. I'm a little disappointed for Nebraska because, honestly, I thought he would have been a pretty good bridge, a better bridge than people think, only because, look, you're going into Columbus, you're going into Ann Arbor, you're going into Madison with a quarterback that's never started a game. That's going to happen this year.
Mm-hmm.
Not ideal. So it's... But if you're Tanner Lee, you get it. I mean, look, the guy's going to have to go through. This would have been essentially the fourth offense that he would have had to make a decision on whether or not he wants to conform to. Mm-hmm. He had his original offense at Tulane. Then they bring this run heavy option offense to Tulane. He chooses to go away from that, joins Mike Riley's offense. And now he's dealing with that for a fourth time. So I think if you're him, you're 23, you're sort of like, man, I'm getting too old for this.
Yep.
And he just decides to get out. So you can't blame him. But it simplifies things for Nebraska in some ways. Right. I mean, you know, if you're Scott Frost, you got three guys, maybe four, if you can sign one that just, you know, they're all starting in the same spot. Everybody's starting from the beginning with this offense.
As Tanner Lee would be, though. I mean, I know he's got the snaps under center compared to the other guys, which you can't. I mean, that's so premium. I totally get you with this schedule, and man, it'd be nice to have an experienced quarterback who's played on the road at Oregon and who's been to Happy Valley. I get you 1,000% there. I'm going to try and limit the coughing spells with this chest cold to twice an hour. So if that happens, forgive me, but. Who's to say it would have worked and would have fit?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
The experience, absolutely important. It trumps things. Yes, I get that. But yeah,
would he have been offered by Scott Frost? Probably
no,
not.
No.
Yeah, yeah. Because he can't really run. Although I would have been interested to see what he can do if he was asked to run. He's never been asked to. He's never been trained to do it. But
the,
it's not going to happen.
The running
happen,
so he did was for self-preservation. When no one was blocking for him. In 4 years and two programs, Tanner Lee has not had a run game or an offensive line.
I know.
Ever.
Poor guy.
So going to the NFL, maybe he kind of fulfills what he's supposed to be because he'll go to a place, maybe, that can block and run for him. I don't know. Watch him shine. When he has those two things, two simple things like blocking and a run game to support him.
He's got a chance in the NFL because it's pretty random. And how many of the quarterbacks that you see playing on Sundays, you know, outside of the Bradys and the Roethlisbergers, you know, outside of that, you got guys that
Let's not forget Tom was a forgotten seventh round dude.
Well, right. But how many of these guys are from colleges that you don't follow? Or, you know,
fit in the NFL better than they ever did in college a lot.
Yeah, exactly. So he's got a shot. Of course, he's got a shot. Look, even in the Penn State game, he was making some throws that are just crazy.
In those conditions, yeah.
Yeah, he's really gifted. Really gifted thrower. But this, this is going to be an interesting year now. This is going to be a really, you're going to have an actual quarterback battle. I think they tried to make it a quarterback battle heading into this year, right? Remember how they wouldn't name the, they didn't know who the starter was going to be for sure. Everybody's competing. No, right?
Like they didn't want their first big time West Coast get to transfer.
Yeah, look, and so this will be an actual quarterback battle. And I'm trying to think about, when was the last time that happened? Was that 2010?
Yeah, because you had Cody Green, mm-hmm. you had Lee, and then you had this freshman,
yeah,
all-star wide receiver that they're going to try at quarterback named Taylor.
Yep. So it's been a long time since you've had any sort of quarterback battle. And now you got Jebbia, you got Patrick O'Brien, you got the kid Adrian Martinez, and then Nebraska has an offer out to this Arizona commit who's out of Tucson. I was just watching some of his film.
Is he an athlete or is he a quarterback?
Is what now?
Is he an athlete or is he a quarterback?
Well, he was playing wide receiver on the 7-on-7 circuit, if that gives you any idea about his athleticism.
Because I've heard the term raw thrown around with his passing.
They look good. His throws look good on film. Of course, they're his huddle highlights.
Sure.
So you don't see the bad stuff. But, he's a bigger guy, too. He's, 6'3", maybe 205, something like that. Kind of a Jamal Lord build.
Sure.
If that makes sense. And he's, he can run now. I mean,
he's just a beast with the improv and the quarterback zone read.
Dude, he's got some top end speed. He's got some moves. He's a big guy. It just shakes out to be super interesting this year. And who knows where it's going to go?
Let me flip this around on you.
If you're Frost, you really have a lot of different flavors to choose from. Mm-hmm.
Well, you want to keep your top two flavors here. And is Adrian Martinez going to be ready to win the job? Maybe. But you want whoever wins between Jebbia and POB to be able to fit and thrive. And ideally, you'd like all three to, the two that are already here to stick around. That won't happen. I don't think it will happen. I'd be really shocked if it happens in today's climate with quarterbacks. They just don't stick. They go somewhere else, and that's how it is with quarterbacks. Now, I'm going to flip it around on you and ask you, though. Say Tanner Lee stays. How much of a greater chance does Nebraska have to navigate through the minefield that is 2018's home and road schedule in a new offense where... Listen, Frost can do whatever he wants. It's going to be tempo. You got to hit your throws, but you need the quarterback run element, right?
Yeah, you do. Yep. You need the threat of it.
You need the threat of it, okay? And we don't know how much of a threat, if there is such thing, of Tanner Lee running the football. We're just being God honest, okay? So would it have been a no-brainer, Tanner's our guy next year? I mean, the guy can make the throws. He's won a job already as the guy from a leadership and a captain and a play calling and a toughness standpoint. But from a fit standpoint, what's going to make this offense go? Is he the guy that'll go make it respectable in Columbus, make it respectable in Ann Arbor, beat Sparty here, go hang in Iowa City, get the Buffs here next year? You open with Akron. I mean, I've left out, I mean, Purdue's no slouch. Northwestern's tried to give it away last night, but they won. So, I mean, you got a ton of coin flips as we talk right now. Mm-hmm. And just, the experience is this. The guy was 4-8.
Yeah, it's true. Right. Yeah. And if he didn't win the job, how weird would that be for a captain?
Mm-hmm.
especially at a premium position like that, to not be the starter. What does that do culturally? So look, overall,
I think he'd be a good teammate. He'd be supportive.
Probably, but you know,
it still would suck.
Right. You know, it would just create this element that you just would rather not deal with. So you're not going to have to deal with that this year. You have your choice of a lot of different flavors. And I still, for some reason, no, trust me, I like Jebbia, but I think O'Brien is a real dark horse here. I think he's got a much better chance. It's kind of funny how he's been sort of, I think by the
forgotten
collective, he's been sort of written off. It's like, oh, no, he's not going to work. Because you just look at his size and you just assume he's a statue. You just assume that.
I've never called him that.
What's that?
I said I have never called him that.
Right. No, but that's generally what he's thought. And so people don't think he really fits. But I'm going to tweet it out a little bit later. You can look at his huddle film from when he was a senior. And there are several runs on there that you could point to and say, huh. Because it could give you an interesting power element, not power as in the play call, but power as in just the physical size.
Sure. Big guy, move the pile.
From the quarterback. It would take a certain degree of buy-in from him. You would have to see if he's willing and able to play that role and to do that. But, and I'm not saying it would be exactly like this, but, you know, Florida was a lot different when Tebow did not care about lowering his shoulder.
Sure.
Right? Like, that was kind of the difference with their offense. You had all these speed guys.
He ran just enough to hurt you, and he'd get the 2 extra yards after contact.
And there's no reason why O'Brien couldn't do the same. But again, it takes a certain mentality. I don't think he's ever had to play with that kind of mentality before. But if there's a guy that, you know, that knows all about that, it's Scott Frost, who, oh, by the way, will be coaching him. So, look, I think O'Brien's got a shot, because Kenjebia, with his body type now, even if he wins the job, do you want him taking a bunch of hits from Big Ten linebackers?
No. Yet? No.
Right,
you like don't. But I want. Let's spend 2 seconds here on Jebbia's frame, and let's look at Mackenzie Milton, Noah Vedral. They're not rocked and thick. They may be over 200 pounds, but they're long and lean and athletic. They're more lanky than they are sturdy.
Yeah. No, you're right. They're also playing against the Conference USA schedule. So I think Jebbia's body type could get away with that against.
You're telling me there's no Bosa in the CAA? Okay, I got gotcha.
You. You know what I'm saying?
They just break you in half. Yeah.
There's no Borlands. There's no, you know,
some angry Michigan man.
I mean, it's just, you know. Now I think Jebbia can get there, and who knows? Maybe it's not like we've seen the guy recently. Maybe he has put on some weight. Maybe he could withstand it. But I think that would be a natural, real concern. Can his body hold up yet? Eventually, it'll be able to. O'Brien's can. And I would love to see somebody work on O'Brien. You know, you look at him physically now. You could tell he's got some. He can get stronger. Mm-hmm. He can get leaner. He could use a little more weight room. So what's going to happen when that is demanded of you? Because that is another change that you're going to see with Nebraska more than you've seen before. Is that this is no longer that your this weight program isn't optional, right? Like, it's a thing. Everybody on that team is going to get tested like they haven't ever been in the weight room. All of them. And it's going to make guys really question whether or not they even like this, whether or not they even want to do it. Because it's going to be so guys' bodies are absolutely going to transform, because you can't go through that program and not have it happen. Like, it's just going to happen for you. You're going to transform. So what will O'Brien look like? Right. 6'5 or 6'3", 6'4", 220. Going through a serious weight program. You know, who knows? Scott Frost could be sitting on something that's pretty nice there.
Well, and let's just bottom line it now. Are you worried about the quarterback situation without Tanner Lee?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am not.
Yeah. Well, I am this year. Because, look, it's your first ever. Nobody started a game, dude. Like, nobody. Jebbia hasn't even taken a snap.
And I agree with that being a major point, and, oh, my God, it could be scary. I get you. But you're all starting from ground zero in a new offense. That levels things, and it makes, being in the fire, seeing the live bullets, whatever cliche you want to throw out there, is important. But while you survived it, air quotes survived it, going 4-8 last year, is it going to be, are you going to be better than you were last year in a new system?
Well, that's what I'm, well, look, it's not like Nebraska's quarterback play has been stellar for years anyways. But what I just don't think in a fairly complex offense that is designed for really efficient quarterback play, I think you're going to have enough variables there to make it to where that quarterback play is not going to be a strength next year.
I agree.
There's no way it can be.
It quarterback's going to be a major wild card. But
yeah,
the quarterback play last year with this system, this coach, this fit was supposed to be find the open guy. The offense will work. There's always someone open, but it's the five guys up front and the guy lined up behind you that are supposed to help supplement that. And the real question to me, no matter who's a quarterback next year, is are you going to get better offensive line play and are you going to find a running back to get you more than 101, not even 101 a game?
Look, I don't blame the running backs at all. I think it's all on the offensive line. All on the offensive line. You know what I'm saying? Like, can you blame, like, do you think Divine Azigbo is a bad running back?
I think Divine's a really good running back.
He's good. So is Wilbon. So is Trey Bryant.
For whatever reason, we didn't see a lot of Divine.
No. Look, nobody even ran for 500 yards on the team.
No, I know.
Right? But I don't blame the running backs for that. They were always getting met in the backfield. Everybody, there were never lanes to run through. Those guys have enough speed to run fast with the ball and not fumble it. Like they can play, but it's all on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
What are those guys going to do?
No, that's the question. And then it kind of goes back to QB's only as good as that O-line up front in a new offense. Can chat with us if you like. Tap the line, Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House, 466-377-6800-825-5865. Can find us on Twitter at Mark Skurs, at @Schmidt_radio. And are you concerned about the quarterback spot more so now that Tanner Lee is declared for the NFL? Gary Sharp coming up. Brandon Vogel on the way. Our rewind with Will Honus's coach, Kyle Woodall from Butler. Want to remind you about your friends at Madonna Therapy Plus. Concussions are serious, you know that. Once upon a time, they were thought of simply of getting just a bump on the head. However, new research confirms concussions must be identified immediately and managed properly for quick and full recovery. If your young athlete has experienced a similar sports-related injury like a concussion, trust Madonna Therapy Plus to tackle it head-on, and they're a leader in concussion rehabilitation. Madonna Therapy Plus experts provide tailored programs to young athletes through every stage of recovery, the right treatment, the right game plan, the most advanced techniques and technology to help that young athlete of yours get back in the classroom and get back on the playing field. Three locations in Lincoln and a West Omaha location to serve you. Madonna Therapy Plus, the expertise and innovation to help you and your child return to learn and be ready to play. Log on today, MadonnaTherapyPlus.org. We'll get some of your calls coming up. We'll dive into Central Florida as they get ready for Auburn. And Brandon Vogel is down in Hotlanta. getting ready for that game. Gary Sharp will be with us in a rewind segment with Kyle Woodall. When we return, the weekend edition rolls forward on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big-time get for Nebraska linebacker Will Hodes. His coach, position coach at Butler, Kyle Woodall, with us. Also the strength and conditioning coach at Butler. Coach Woodall, thanks for a few minutes today. How are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
We're doing well. And Nebraska fans extremely happy. The coaching staff extremely excited about Will Hodes. Give us a look-see, if you could, into Will. You've coached him. You know him. And let's talk about the person first before we talk about the on-field player. Tell me a little bit about Will's personality.
Well, he's everything you'd want in a player and a person. You know, maybe the best thing about Will is how good of a person he truly is. He's a selfless guy. He's extremely driven. He's a team-first kind of guy. Obviously, he was a team captain for us and a leader that we really depended on, both on the field and off. There will not be any character issues for Nebraska with him. He'll be a 4.0 student in the classroom. You know, we always talk as a staff, man, can you say anything bad about Will? And there's not too many things that anybody can say. So he is the total package, both on the field and off.
Give me a couple of examples, and I believe you, but from leadership is so key. And you know that as a coach, some of those traits that he's exhibited, any specific examples come to mind of his leadership skill?
I mean, the greatest thing about Will is he doesn't have to talk about it. When he walks in the room, he makes it known that he's the man just by his actions. He's not a rah-rah kind of guy. He's not on Twitter and Facebook saying a bunch of stuff. He's going to go out, he's going to do his job, and he's going to do it very well. And he's going to demand that his teammates do that just by the way he carries himself and by the way he, you know, is on the field and off, whether that's in the classroom, the weight room, at practice. Anywhere he is, he's doing the right thing. We don't ever have to check up on Will or worry about Will doing the right thing. So in this day and age, for a kid not to have to say, look at me and put this on Twitter or Facebook, and for his teammates to know that he's the man, I think that says a lot about the kid.
Linebacker coach at Butler, Kyle Woodall with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Will Hodes, part of the Nebraska recruiting class for 18, big-time linebacker. Tell me a little bit about the scheme that Butler runs. It's a 4-3, and how he fits there. And then jump, if you could, to how you see he fits with Nebraska's 3-4.
Well, the thing about Will is he was our Mike linebacker. And at Butler, the Mike linebacker runs the show. He lines up our D-line. He calls all kinds of stunts. Lines up the linebackers, helps with the secondary. He does everything. So he's going to get the call from the sideline, and he makes sure it runs the right way. So he's very smart, obviously, for him to be able to do that. There was actually a couple games where we just said, hey, Will, you call it based on how the offense lines up. And for a junior college, you know, where we only have limited time, 2 years with these guys, for him to be able to do that just tells you how smart he is. But for the 4-3, I mean, he's in the box a lot, you know, and he could have played outside the box, to be honest. We had no problem moving around. He just fit perfect to run the show. When you talk about him in a 3-4, he can be those two inside backers in that 3-4 scheme easy, play either one. He could come off the edge. His blitzing ability is just absolutely great, too. We sent him on so many different blitzes, and he can read blitzes and do all kinds of things. But really, we talked with him about that, whether he should stay in a 4-3, a 3-4, and it was like, hey, you can do anything. So don't worry about the scheme. You're going to be able to fit. And with a kid like Will, you find a way to get him on the field. So there won't be any issues, any kind of transition. He's going to be just fine.
Was that a potential roadblock in his mind, making that scheme shift from a 4-3 to a 3-4?
I don't think it was necessarily a roadblock. I think he just, as smart as he is, he wants to make sure he's checking all the boxes and making sure that he's making a decision where he feels he can be successful. So I think he was just doing his research. You know, we do have a little bit of a 3-4 that we ran, and he was in on that and all that stuff. So it's not going to be an issue for him.
When it came down to decision time, and you look at the suitors for Will Honus, Coach Woodall, you have Iowa, you have Kansas State, you have Nebraska, and then you have Wisconsin late. And all of the programs historically have been just tremendous with their linebacking core, and in Iowa and Wisconsin recently specifically. And when it came to the process and the decision-making for Will, did he lean on you? Did you guys communicate? Did you help him, not necessarily send him one school or another, but just with the evaluation process, how much were you a part of it?
I mean, as much as he wanted me to be, I wasn't going to be overbearing. I let him know as soon as things started happening that we were going to support him in anything he needed. If he had questions, needed us to talk to coaches, anything he needed, we were going to be there. But at the same time, we weren't going to be overbearing and tell him he needed to do this or do that. We'll earn these opportunities, and we were just a little bit of a tool in his tool belt. So he earned it, and it was his decision to make. You know, when he had questions, we'd answer them. And, you know, I think at times it can be very overwhelming for these kids with these big-time programs and all that, but he's mature enough to handle it. And, you know, he obviously found something in Nebraska that he liked, and he's going to hold on to that.
Do you think he enjoyed the recruiting process at all? He's not much, as you've outlined so far. He's not the attention-seeking type, but he had a lot of attention.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, and we'd ask him, and you could tell that he was uncomfortable with all the attention and all that. I mean, I'm sure it was, you know, a lot of his hard work paying off, but in his own way, he was very excited about it. But I'm sure it made him uncomfortable just with the kind of personality he is and the kind of kid he is. But he has definitely earned all this attention. So we were definitely happy for him, and he handled it as good as he could.
What do you think won out for Nebraska?
You know, I would just say that he got up there, and, you know, obviously when you go up to Nebraska, that place is pretty special. You know, you got the history, you got championships, you got Coach Frost coming back, so there's a lot of excitement around the program and obviously that fan base. But in the end, I think it was a place he saw that he could fit. And I think that's the most important thing for Will, is that it's not going to be about uniforms and facilities and all that, but just about where he can fit and felt like he could be a part of something special.
Barrett Rood, Ryan Held were pretty instrumental in the recruiting process with Will. With those two, how do you think he connected with them? And I know I'm asking you to speak for Will, and I appreciate you doing this, but how do you think they hit it off? I mean, when it came down to evaluating?
You know, probably they were just real with Will. They didn't try to blow a bunch of smoke because, like I said, Will's a quiet kid, so they probably had to do quite a bit of talking, and Will just kind of gave a couple, you know, one-word answers and things like that. But he's very smart. So if you were going to try to come in and blow a bunch of smoke, that wasn't going to work with Will. So I'm guessing they were just as real as they could, told him the opportunities he could have. And, you know, he just, you know, found something that he could reach onto. And, you know, the family atmosphere is something that we preach at Butler. That's something that makes Butler special. And he probably felt that same thing with the Nebraska coaches.
Kyle Woodall, a couple more minutes with us. Hale Varsity Radio, linebacker coach at Butler and strength and conditioning coach at Butler. We're talking about Will Honus, linebacker, as he's part of Nebraska's 2018 class. How did Will end up at Butler? And what I mean by end up, Butler's a big-time program. It's a major landing spot for a lot of kids post high school that don't go to 4-year, but they get the jump to major 4-year opportunities. So Butler's a big time place to get to. How did you guys end up getting Will to Butler, and what's his backstory from high school?
Well, he's a Wichita kid. He went to Bishop Carroll High School, which is a power here in Kansas. He had he was getting some D1 interest and getting some things, and had an ACL injury his senior year. So that kind of put an end to anything D1. Both his older brothers actually played here at Butler, and both had good success here, both great guys. So we kind of had the end there. We were able to recruit him. Obviously, he knew about us being a Wichita kid, as we're right by Wichita. And, you know, he wanted that D1 dream. He felt he still could be good enough, and he came to Butler. And, as they say, I guess the rest is history. But, obviously, he had that D1 stuff out of high school, and we were just that bridge he needed after the ACL to get there.
Coach, when you look at Will's skill set and apply it to the Big Ten, is he a perfect match for just how physical the Big Ten is?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have, you know, he is a Big Ten linebacker. You know, you look at all the history of the Big Ten linebackers and all the big names and things like that. He is that personality. He is that hard-nosed kid. And you can just put on his film to know how physical he is. So he will fit that mold absolutely perfect.
I want to go through a couple of three traits here with what the inside linebacker needs to do in coverage against the run and rushing the quarterback. Tell me what's special about Will with those three instances.
Well, all three of them he excels at. He is so instinctual in everything. He reads the offense and what's going on so fast. He's so quick and explosive. Defending the run, he knows where the ball is going before I think sometimes the offense does. He's just so smart and instinctual. He plays downhill, physical. Coverage-wise, I mean, he's fast, he's quick, he's athletic. He'll get in the coverage. He's got great hands. He's just a total package. You know, I just can't say enough good things about him. And I know I'm his coach, and you probably think maybe I'm just saying this, but I think you guys will get to see exactly what I'm talking about really soon. But he is just everything as a coach. I think if you had a roundtable discussion with just a bunch of coaches and you could say, hey, these are the things, the traits we want, Will's going to check almost every box.
Kyle Woodall with us, Hail Varsity Radio, linebacker coach and strength and conditioning coach at Butler. Will Hodes, part of the Nebraska class. Coach, what's the outlook here for Butler with spring ball and winter conditioning and your role as strength and conditioning coach as well as the linebacker coach? What's next for you guys and your program down there?
Well, hopefully reloading with a bunch of Will Honuses, but obviously those are tough to find. Obviously, we feel like we got a pretty good group to come up. And, you know, it's just at junior college, you just reload. That's the next step. You just keep going. Guys got to step up. You got to find some guys to fit in and just keep it rolling. So the next group's up, and now we just try to keep the tradition rolling.
Coach, great to speak with you. Thanks for giving us a few minutes on Hail Varsity.
No problem. Thank you.
Now it's time to get back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week.
What?
Good stuff from Kyle Woodall, the coach, linebacker coach, strength and conditioning coach down at Butler. Our rewind segment on Will Hodes. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone with you. The weekend edition of Hail Varsity. Back a pit stop before the new year and then back full force on Tuesday, post all the bull bonanza. Kranak, you fired up about the Big Ten being 5-0, or are you one of those guys that you're not chanting SEC/Big Ten from your couch?
Yeah. Look, it is good. I mean, it's finally, you know. But I don't know, how much do you read into any of that stuff anyways? Because unless you do it year after year, what does it really say? You know?
It's better than the alternative and the old narrative.
Of course, yeah, but how much do we actually talk about that stuff when the next year comes up? You know what I'm saying?
With what the Big Ten did the last couple of years, they positioned themselves to be talked about as often or more so that they are the superior conference. What Michigan State had been able to do, Iowa's undefeated season, Penn State, what they were doing. And then Ohio State winning the championship and smacking Bama on the way to do it, which, wow, is now 4 years ago. It completely changed the narrative. That, and then they positioned themselves early to kind of fulfill the hype, or at least get in position to be talked about on a grand scale with some of these games, some of these early season neutral site ball games. So it's helpful. Now, yeah, you got to keep earning it. And the Big Ten, time after time, has done it. And look at the street cred Wisconsin's ridden because of how well they played with last year's schedule. They ended up, they got beat by Ohio State in overtime and they lost by a touchdown to Michigan on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they beat Auburn, I think?
Yeah, it was LSU, right?
Well, they beat LSU to start the year, but then
you're talking then in the bowl game.
And then the bowl game. So they went 2-0 against the SEC. But listen, it gave Wisconsin a benefit of the doubt this year when they didn't have a great schedule.
Yeah.
So it does carry over and follow you a ways. But listen, man, Arizona's no joke. Purdue's defense, if you look closely at them, is pretty good. Brohm is a hot name, obviously, but for Purdue to beat an Arizona team like that and hold on against them, super impressive, especially for the West. I know Washington State was missing three major starters on offense, but that thing wasn't even close, and you knew it from the kick. No, Sparty's for real. Northwestern, that thing, I was screaming at my TV just how stupid they were in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they got pretty lucky at the end.
Iowa found a way to beat Boston College, and BC's not great, but Iowa's going to be the team that people still ask, how did that happen in Iowa City against Ohio State? Because Ohio State's offense did nothing last night, really.
No, it took them a while. Right.
They had three points they earned on a drive. Mm-hmm. 21 of the other points off turnovers, one being a pick six. Now, the front four, no joke. The secondary, no joke for Ohio State. But Ohio State's defense won that for them, but it was phenomenal. It was incredible against SC's defense was really good last night. And while I'm talking Big Ten for a second, I know
you're an apologist all of a sudden, man.
No, I know the Big Ten. I know JT Barrett's 48.
You changed, dude. You used to be all about the Big 12, the Big 8.
I know.
Now.
Yep, I have converted. Fine. Am I the only guy that looks at Barrett when he runs and says, this guy's never going to get a yard? Does he look slow? Does he look like an old man running? I know he's won 1,000 games.
Well, he is an old man. He's 47.
But every time he kept the football, man, there was no threat of him going the distance. It was 7 yards and a cloud of dust.
Yeah, it's so weird. How many touchdowns does he have now? They said it last night, something like 147.
Right. I mean, his production is nuts. I think it's incredible. That said, this guy, he doesn't wow me. He does not wow me. He just gets it done, but he makes it look easy. I guess that's my blindness.
Yeah, and he's not. I don't think he has a chance at the next level. I'm not the only one that thinks that, obviously. But who knows, right? Somebody that's that productive, really, there's no spot at all for him anywhere.
No, there is
not. The next level,
the guy has 75-year-old knees. He's not a great deep ball thrower. What other position does he play? I mean, he can't move laterally quickly.
How does a guy do that and still account for
that much
a Big
production?
Ten record amount of touchdowns and start win that many games?
A guy named Zeke and his offensive line has always been sweet.
Well, sure. Well, and who knows, man? One of his backups could. Now, this is the other thing we haven't talked about yet, and it relates to Ohio State. But so you got Joe. It's not Joe Burrow.
Yeah, it is. It's Joe.
It is Joe. Okay, sorry. I get him confused.
Jamie
and there's Jimmy.
Jamie was the linebacker. Jimmy was, the dad.
Yeah, there's Jamie and Joe. It's the Jimmies and the Joes.
Thank you,
Barry. You got him. This is one of the backups, along with Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State.
Yeah, Haskins looks really awesome.
Mm-hmm. So if Burrow doesn't win that job, does he transfer? Does he look at that wouldn't affect, could he graduate transfer?
Sure.
He's been there long enough to where he probably could.
The guy I'd like to see here is Noah Vedral.
And that seems like a no-brainer that he's going to transfer, right?
Because Milton's just a sophomore.
Yeah. Well, and secondly, Vedral, I mean, come on. Dad and three uncles played in Nebraska. Like, the ties run really deep. You know, that's not just maybe one guy in your family. I mean, it's like his whole family were Huskers, mm-hmm. and he grew up in Wahoo, and he's recruited personally by Scott. Like, if anybody's going to – so he seems like he might transfer. Joe Burrow might transfer from Ohio State. These are very realistic possibilities. So we're talking about these quarterbacks that Nebraska has on the roster now. But dude, I mean, that could change considerably. And what if you get a Joe Burrow who has some playing experience in the Big Ten? Right?
Yeah.
Then what? Then it's national champs 2018.
Kranak, I love your optimism.
The Big Ten West champs.
I'm going to get a cup of coffee. You keep
Heroes game champs.
You keep drinking whatever you're drinking. Hour 2 is coming up. Brandon Vogel from Atlanta, Gary Sharp. Hail Varsity continues.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery Weekend Edition. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone, and you. Gary Sharp coming up, and we get caught up with Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, hope you had a great Christmas. How are you? Is he not getting us? Vogues, hello. Kranak, how are you? While Colton fixes this.
You know, I'm doing good. And I was just thinking, if you want, I could imitate Brandon, but I'm not as smart and I don't sound like him. So I don't know if that would be a good idea.
Well,
but he's been down in Hotlanta.
Yeah, I know. That's why it'd be sweet to talk to him.
Among the Husker media contingent. And by the way, that's one of the weirdest situations. Think about that. UCF, who we all know basically nothing about. I mean, we do now just by, you know, following Scott from afar and then reading up on anything and everything you possibly can about UCF. But you have this entire Husker media contingent has nothing to do with Auburn or UCF that is down there, like attending all the press conferences, just trying to get a clue about what this new operation is going to be like.
Is the red button pushed? Vogues, do you have me? We hear him. You know, maybe we can like give him a sign from the third base box to lay down a bunt here. Vogues, do we got you? Maybe if I yell really loud.
See, this is what happens. A little behind the scenes for people that are listening. New board.
Yeah, I was going to send you a picture.
At 1480, right?
Yeah, so first time in 6,000 years. This thing's sweet.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it? That's the whole thing. It's like you get a new board, and that a new board as in like a day ago, right? 2 days ago?
Something like that. Otherwise, we would have all hit snooze this morning.
It's brand new. And so the entire radio station now operates through this new board, which is just this fancy set of inputs and buttons. And you can just take all these sources of audio, mix them all together. Everybody can hear everybody. It's amazing. Which you would think that's like an easy thing, but it's really not. It's really not.
And we got here early enough that, yeah, we weren't just winging it.
Yeah. So maybe, is this thing under warranty?
No, I think it's bless his heart, it's a bit of operator error going on because it's new.
So let's just amp up the pressure on Colton right now.
I'm working on him not tuning me out ever.
Yeah.
We try a third time as the charm. Maybe. This is wonderful. Vogues, are you there?
Maybe we can do a chat session with Vogues, right? You know what I mean?
Just text him?
We'll text him questions, and then we'll read his answers.
Okay.
Grant, I'm really interested in knowing what he has to say.
Here's what I'm going to have you do. I'm going to have you just carry this thing for about 2 minutes, and I'm going to go next door. Is that okay?
Yeah, go fix that board, Chris.
Hang on.
Nothing but the finest here. You know, for Christmas, we were thinking about, you know, what could we do for the listener? And we decided, hey, maybe get a new board. So we got a new board, and then that way everybody could hear everything a lot better. And it's just not quite working out. I hope there's a gift receipt on this thing. You know, I really do. But there probably wasn't. But that's neither here nor there. So UCF, Auburn, January 1st, so that's Monday, coming up. You got this entire Husker media contingent down there. The thing that's going to – it's giving everyone a preview of what to expect once Frost and company get to Nebraska. And pun intended, one thing that is standing out, and you got a little glimpse of it when Frost first showed up, the dude can be pretty frosty with the media.
Did you make that one up?
Did you hear that one?
I did. Yeah. Vogues, do you have us now?
You're terrible, man. What are you doing? Come on, Chris. You're a veteran in this industry. You've worked so many different boards.
No, I know.
And I thought you were going to do the magic touch. Walk over there, flick a couple things, drop the mic, walk out. Like, mm-hmm. This is how it's done, Colton. But yet, you can't even.
You can keep talking. Do we just want Vogues to like point and laugh?
It's not happening.
Okay, that's fine.
It's not happening. Okay. Is it? I mean, it just doesn't seem like it.
I don't think so.
Now,
tell him thanks for waking up.
No, Colton can keep trying. And if Vogel can hear us all of a sudden, then he can just start talking.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Why should he have a free morning?
But have you heard how... Did you hear how Frost got with an Auburn reporter that was asking pretty pointed questions?
Tell me about it.
So he was asking, he wasn't asking sort of the general questions of talk about how good Mackenzie Milton is. Hey, what do you think about Auburn's defense?
Right? Like, War Eagle for real.
Those questions he's fine with, right? But as soon as you start prying, which is what the guy was doing, and you don't blame the guy. I don't think the guy was asking ridiculous questions. But Frost does not want to give an inch of information. So the guy's asking, you know, what are you going to do at left tackle now that your guy's injured? Do you know who's starting? Frost's like, yeah, I know who's starting.
But you don't.
Could you share who it is? Yeah, I could, but I'm not going to. Okay.
Sorry to interrupt, guys. I just wanted to let you know that I'm here.
All right. Oh! How did this happen? What do we do? What? Colton fixed it.
Brandon.
How are you?
There's a new board at the radio station, right? And so this, you are the first phone call on this new board. How's that feel?
We had him, and now you lost it? Vogue says, sorry to interrupt you, but what'd you do?
Colton? That was awesome. It's like the ghost of Vogel. Pops in.
Do we have him? No?
Hey, just letting you guys know I'm here.
There should be a shotgun loading sound effect and then a pull the trigger sound effect. just hit. Now you have me, but you don't have Kranach. Is that fair, folks?
No, for the moment, I've got both of you. So
Don't breathe, Colton. Just stand.
Yeah,
turn, look in the corner. Thank you.
Get your hand away from the board.
Vogues, we were talking. How's Atlanta? How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, I think
we're on.
We turned towards 2018, but yeah, otherwise doing good.
We're Kranach and I are both reaching for bourbon right now. that doesn't shock you though.
I go Irish whiskey.
That's fine. So the question here is. The frostiness of Frost with the media down there. Have you noticed that at all?
So on Wednesday there was just a brief bit of availability, and that's really that all the time that I think reporters here have had with Frost. And you know, I didn't take it as a, I guess, response to anything. It just kind of felt like he was kind of locked in. You know, I think he came in knowing that he's going to get some Nebraska questions. And he was understandably kind of reticent to go there because he doesn't want this week to be about that, which is totally understandable. And I think most people have been and will be respectful of that, you know, the next time he takes questions, which I think is tomorrow.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. What have you noticed? What stands out with, I don't know how much practice you've been able to watch, or just the operation in general? What are some things that have stood out to you about how this group operates their football team?
Yeah, it's pretty efficient. I've gotten the sense that UCF seems pretty locked into this game, you know, with everything going on around it. That was far from a given. And you know, the other part of it would be just how much I think they resemble their head coach in the limited amount that I've been able to observe them. It is definitely one of those sort of cultures where you feel like you hear from a bunch of different people, but it's kind of one voice. And I think that's, you know, part of the reason they're sitting here at 12-0. I really do. I've always kind of been a big believer in that side of things. So those two things were the two primary ones that really jumped out to me through these first couple of days.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. And Vogue's down in Atlanta covering the Central Florida Auburn game that'll kick things off for your New Year's Day. I was really loving your story on Kevin Steele. I mean, Nebraska fans know and love Kevin Steele and how important he was and how many programs he really helped kind of kickstart through recruiting. Clemson, Florida State, Tennessee, Auburn, now, and Bama and LSU. I mean, just go down to their rise, and the common denominator is Kevin Steele recruiting, getting Tommy Frazier, getting Clemson loaded up on defense, getting signed by Saban, being at LSU, and now look how good Auburn's defense is. He had some pretty incredible things to say about Frost, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. You know, and he was at Nebraska at the time Frost was being recruited there. Obviously knows him, knows a lot of his backstory, knows his family. And Kevin Steele, even when he's not talking about Frost, is kind of a great interview. He's got that, you know, sort of deep Southern drawl from South Carolina. So he's a lot of fun to hear talk. And when you just look at the number of coaches and great players that he's been around over a pretty remarkable career, gives his words a lot of weight. So having the Nebraska connection was kind of a bonus in this regard. Just hearing him being able to talk about this offense, you know, almost no matter who was running it, was interesting as well. So it was good get a chance to catch up with him down here.
I want to jump in real quick. What do you think about this matchup, though? That Auburn D, size and speed versus Central Florida offense, and Central Florida's feeling it. They are very confident in their speed. The line is what the line is. What do you make of it? Do you think Auburn's going to get tested, or do you think Auburn's going to do what Auburn usually does to teams defensively? I mean, Clemson only scored 14 on them.
Yeah, I think they will get tested. You know, there's a significant advantage for Auburn on both lines, in my opinion. I don't think that's too out there to say when you look at some of the guys that Auburn has. But, you know, from that perspective, this offensive staff for UCF, which kind of has gone back and watched every single Auburn game this year, is one of those things that a bowl game sort of affords you the luxury of doing. They're going to have some things, and I think they view it as kind of a play calling challenge, a chance to show their stuff a little bit, because they probably don't man to man 11 on 11 match up at every spot. Nobody thinks that they do. So it'll be interesting how well they're able to kind of test that Auburn defense and put it in points of conflict. And, you know, the burden here that an offense like this puts on you is just to execute continually and to do it at a quick pace. So I think UCF will have a shot here.
Brandon Vogel, managing editor for Hail Varsity down in Atlanta, covering UCF and Auburn, that game on Monday. How has it been? Have you noticed with Josh Heupel, the new UCF coach? He's sort of like a coach in waiting. It's just kind of a strange dynamic there. What have you noticed about maybe how he and Frost interact, or how involved Heupel is with observing this team? What's that dynamic like right now?
Yeah, it's they've stayed pretty separate for the most part from what I've witnessed. You know, I've heard in talking to some Orlando beat writers down here that the relationship there has been perfectly cordial in terms of the transition of power, I guess, that's about to take place. And, you know, he's down here to sort of, I guess, be a little bit of a UCF representative and do some glad handling with the boosters and let them know that things are going to be okay. So haven't seen a ton of him. But from everything I hear, you know, that's going pretty well. You know, it kind of hits home being down here and seeing the players and how they talk about this staff, just kind of what a unique opportunity this is to close this game out. You know, this doesn't happen very often. And I think both sides, in terms of players and coaches, are pretty grateful for that opportunity.
Vogue's
that seems strange. That seems strange, though. I would think there'd be at least some animosity from some of the players, but you're not detecting any of that.
Not at this point. I think if there was, and, you know, a couple of guys hinted that, you know, when you first learn the news, You come off that huge high of winning the conference championship game, and minutes later, almost literally, you know, you're having to rethink what UCF football is going to be in another season. So I'm sure there was some of that, but at this point, they're either all saying the right things or they've, you know, kind of made their own peace with it at this point.
Vogues, what's been your read on how guys with Central Florida have handled the question, hey, any of you following Frost out the door?
Well, you know, I only saw that question asked once, but I saw it asked twice. They were a local UCF beat reporter asked that question, and then he was asked again in terms of Mackenzie Milton, and I thought he handled it well. You know, it wasn't like this was the most offensive thing he had ever encountered. At least that was my interpretation, but that said, you know, I wasn't there doing the asking. I was just kind of overhearing it from afar. So, you know, in terms of all of that side of things, you know, I think UCF has acquitted itself pretty well in terms of how its players have dealt with that.
Being around their roster, do you see a difference physically in how they're constructed? I guess, you know, their weight training influences of Zach Duvall versus the weight training influences under Riley. Did anything stand out there in terms of body type?
No, maybe a little bit, but more of they have a lot of lean athletes. And when you see them next to sort of Auburn, one of the best teams in the SEC, there's a notable difference there. There's sort of the expected difference there just in terms of size. But you look at UCF and then some of their skill position talent and all of the fast branding that they've sort of put around themselves all of a sudden clicks into focus. And you're like, oh, yeah, they don't just talk about it. They don't just do it on the field. They also sort of look fast. So I think you certainly do see. And, you know, this roster, a lot like what I think Nebraska tried to do in the early signing period, had some pieces that they went out and got right away upon arrival that became immediate contributors. So it's been a pretty quick, you know, whatever UCF's roster and physicality looked like prior to Frost's arrival, what it looks like now, I think, came together pretty quickly.
Vogues, your thoughts on Tanner Lee's decision to head to the NFL?
Yeah, you know, good for him. It makes sense on a lot of fronts. It'd be interesting to know sort of what the conversations were or maybe were not like with Nebraska's incoming staff. You know, there just wasn't a ton of time given everything that was going on to probably really sit down and have a bunch of those. But you know, you look at the draft class, and I'm far from a draft expert, but it looks like he's going to have a shot. And you add in sort of the newness, how long he's been in the game. I think it wasn't a surprising decision for anyone who was viewing it from afar.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Hey, quick, do you have any sense for how quickly the staff transitions into being Nebraska full-time? I mean, is it like they're on a plane January 2nd and heading to Lincoln and it's on?
Yeah, I think it will happen pretty quickly. They seem to enjoy doing things pretty quickly. But, you know, it just in the conversations that we've had with some of the assistants, you know, they're sort of in the middle of everything that goes on with that in terms of finding a new house, picking out school for the kids. So some of that stuff has already started. I think being able to sort of the nature of being able to coach this game and what a kind of opportunity I think that was for everyone will only make it easier to kind of be like, okay, now we can just do one job. There might be a little bit of relief there.
Vogues, what's your schedule look like the rest of this weekend? And folks can read you, I'm sure, obviously, with HailVarsity.com and on Twitter at Brandon L. Vogel. But what's your schedule look like?
Yeah, we've got more availability with the UCF defensive coordinator, Eric Schnander, and defensive players here in mere minutes, actually. And then,
so that means quit asking me questions and let me go work?
No, again, I've got a couple more minutes. And then obviously back down Monday for the game, which should be fun. And in between there, I'll just be working on stuff and trying to watch as much football as possible. So not too different from what anybody else is doing.
Thank you for bearing with us this morning, kind sir.
Yes.
No problem.
Vogues, have a
Happy
great
New Year, guys.
You too, bud. Take care. Thanks for your time, man. All right. So
the board comes through. Colton comes through
Colton,
on the board.
80s action star Colton Stone.
Yeah.
Swore at it a couple of times. Thank the Lord his mic wasn't on. And it worked. Our board, I guess, just needs a safe word.
Maybe that's it. We should name the board. You got to think of it.
Oh, we've already named it.
Old Faithful.
It's new.
New Faithful.
It's got a dent in it already.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah, wow. We'll run down Gary Sharp here shortly, we hope. We're going to reach out to Tanner Lee this morning, see if he can join us. Not looking great, but we'll see if it happens. Sauter Heyman, I hope you got to see Rick for the holiday season, and still 0% interest financing through 2020 going on with your friends at Sauter Heyman. Also, their Earth Mined and Pure Grown Diamonds, an extensive collection you should look at. And 1 carat diamonds available for $99 down, $99 a month. And Rick can take care of you for that anniversary coming up, that birthday gift around the corner. Or maybe it's just time to do something special for that loved one in your life with Sauter Heyman. 0% interest financing through 2020. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln or out west in Grand Island. Can log on, SauterHeyman.com. A quick timeout. We'll run him down, the Iron Horse. Gary Sharp up next with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Working through pit stop before the new year. Weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio. Back with you, Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, 80s action star Colton Stone. Do we have Gary Sharp with us? Sharpie, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good warm morning.
Yeah, right?
Are Gary, So the station got a new board. And you know how that happens. You know how that goes sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we kind of didn't have Brandon Vogel for the first, I don't know, 6 or 7 minutes. So it's good that you can hear us. You can hear us, and we can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
What?
Don't. Where's Gary? Let's just get to the freaking interview.
All right.
Sorry. What? Okay.
Hello?
Yeah. So let's start with Tanner Lee.
Hello?
Thumbs up or down on the call?
On Tanner Lee declaring to go to the draft?
Yes, sir.
I think he did Scott Frost a favor because he doesn't make it an awkward situation where Tanner Lee has some interest in coming back, but Scott Frost, it's not reciprocal about his offense. So I think Tanner made the right decision, and he's gonna leave here. His 2 years, 1 year of playing, very odd career. First of all, he's one of the better stand-up guys that has played at Nebraska in that role in a long time. Always met with the media, always was great with fans, extra requests. But he's just going to leave here with 1 year where you're a quarterback of a 4-8 team where it wasn't all your fault, and you had some good and you had some bad. Just an odd career. But I think he's making the right decision for himself, his age, where he's at in his career, to give it a shot. And I think he will perform well in January, February, March, and leading up to the draft, April. And I think he will get drafted, and I think he will find himself in a training camp, and then it's on him to find himself onto a roster as maybe that third quarterback where he gets a chance to try and move up the ladder. I don't know if he'll ever start in the NFL, but I think he's got a shot to at least suit up for a game or two and make some money, and that's kind of the ultimate goal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, it leaves Nebraska with a very interesting quarterback situation, obviously. Your current candidates are Patrick O'Brien, Tristan Jebbia, and then Adrian Martinez coming in from California. So you got those three. But then you have things like Joe Burrow at Ohio State, graduates in May. Could be buried on the depth chart there. If he transfers, he would be immediately eligible. If you had to guess right now, who starts at quarterback for Nebraska week one?
Adrian Martinez. And I will tell you why, Mark. I think Joe Burrow's name comes up. Noah Vedral's name comes up. Adrian Martinez might be the roadblock to those guys coming to Lincoln because Nebraska has put a lot of stock in Adrian Martinez. and him being the quarterback that'll be the face of this offense. Now, I like Tristan Jebbia. I think Tristan Jebbia is going to have a shot to play in this offense. If you go back, and even Patrick O'Brien, they did some things in their high school career that you could, with some coaching, get them up to speed in this offense. I think the current coaching staff, their fear about Jebbia running this offense is not mobile enough and not big enough. And I think any time that you make the move like you did to get a quarterback like Adrian Martinez, you have pushed all of your eggs to that basket, hoping that he will come through, that it's okay. A first-year guy, true freshman, starting a quarterback, will take our lumps because we know we'll come out on the back end. So I think he's the guy going into spring, despite not playing an organized football game since the junior year of high school. But keep an eye on, and don't forget, Andrew Bunch, the walk-on, who, you know, just kind of hung around this year. He may be somebody that shows up in spring. But it'll be a fascinating development during spring football with everybody battling to see who gets the snaps. But I think Adrian Martinez is the guy. You don't go the extra mile, so to speak, to bring him in and then say, hey, just sit back. But they will also put more pressure on him that if he is to win the job, he has to be heads and shoulders above the other guys that he's beating out for.
Sharpie, are you that worried with Jebbia and O'Brien when it comes to translation? Because you're right. What they did in high school was more a form of a spread versus a pro style. And POB had 700 yards as a senior running the ball. And I'm not calling him Tebow, but more that type of a runner, okay? Is it more just about the health and being able to absorb hits? Now, Kranak and I were talking about this in the first hour. From a body type standpoint, how different is Jebbia from Milton?
Probably he's a little bit smaller. I can just tell you, I know in a conversation with a member of the coaching staff that is their concern about Jebbia, sure, is not being mobile enough and not being big enough. Now, we remember Jebbia in the spring game wasn't that big, but as you saw him in a year in the program, he got a little bit bigger. Hey, I'm not counting out any of these guys. I get the feeling that Martinez is the guy that they want to run this offense, mm-hmm, and then they will recruit from there. But if, you know, they have some viable candidates. We don't know right now. He's the only guy that we look at and go, gosh, that's the guy that looks like can run this offense, because the other guys now have to make a transition from the style last year to this year. But they do have, they will have one of the better quarterback coaches Nebraska's had in a while.
What do you know about him as a quarterback's coach, talking about Mario Verduzco, and he wears the weird, you know, John Lennon glasses, and he's in his 60s and he's kind of squirrely.
Yeah, he is the nutty professor. Just a little bit, and talking to Adrian Martinez, very good at talking the game, breaking down the game, and then we hear more from the Central Florida quarterbacks, like a Noah Vedral, that says his hands-on coaching, he doesn't talk over you, he talks with you on how to make this offense work. And I think the thing that helps him is he is so in tune with Scott Frost, and that they have such a good relationship that they're speaking the same language, that they relate that language to the quarterback. So I think he's good hands-on Monday through Friday. And what I'm hearing more, especially from Mackenzie Milton, is that he's really good on Saturdays during games and coaching the quarterbacks. And that's one thing that we don't hear a lot about quarterback coaches. We hear, gosh, they're really good in developing quarterbacks. But on Saturday, when things don't go as planned, how do you coach your quarterbacks? And that's what we're hearing about Verduzco.
Sharpie, what are your thoughts with this Frost offense against the Auburn defense led by, say it with me, Kevin Steele?
Well, first of all, I realize that we just went through Merry Frostmas, and all of us in the media, Hail Varsity, the radio station I'm on in Omaha, 1620 The Zone, we all benefited from Scott Frost, okay? You can't get enough of Scott Frost. Everybody wants to consume Scott Frost. I'm a little uncomfortable with, there's so much attention from the Nebraska media on covering this game. I think that is ridiculous. You know what? Those Central Florida media, players, fans, it's their season. But yet we're, as Nebraska media and fans, trying to hijack what's going on down there. Hold on, folks. January 2nd, Scott Frost and that whole staff is ours, and the Nebraska people. The people really care about Central Florida. You know what? Because you're not going to go, hey, man, McKenzie Milton, boy, what could is he Jebbia? I'm very uncomfortable with that. I'll watch the game, but I'm not going to put a lot into it. And I think we've had a rough month as Nebraska media in the way we've covered this. And I will tell you this. I know this for a fact, that the head man at Central Florida, who January 2nd will be the head man at Nebraska, not happy with this extended coverage of a lot of Nebraska media being down there and questions that are being asked. And it might be petty, but you will get a lot of, hey, I remember 97, some of the things that were written about me. As we move forward, I'm not comfortable with this at all, about how we've just kind of taken over Central Florida. Let them enjoy the season. We just had a 4-8 season. It was garbage. But you know what? We fixed the problem. January 2nd, it's ours.
Yeah, it is awkward. It is awkward. But at the same time, you want to know. You want to have a little bit of a preview of how this, Frost operation works.
There's no preview. That team is better than the team that was here. You're not getting anything. The assistants down there are not answering questions about Nebraska. Mm-hmm. They're very peeved that there's more Nebraska talk than there is Central Florida. I know it's an awkward situation, and these guys have handled it really well, but it's Central Florida time. Let them enjoy it, okay? Let them play this game. And then January 2nd, they're all Nebraska, and you can move on, and none of us will really care about Central Florida anymore other than a couple of Nebraska guys that are playing down there.
Well, we're weird. Nebraska fans are weird. Well, let's just be honest.
Yeah, and I'm part of this too. I'm part of the media. I'm part of the fan base. We've had a bad, 6 weeks here. Okay, it's time. I'm glad that we're going to be able to move into 2018 and start over, because we've had a bad year being fans and being media in this state covering this program, either with the former staff or the current staff. Things are looking up here. I hope we just don't ruin it and really turn off a guy who I think with the media, he will be part Tom Osborne, and he will be part Bo Pelini in how he handles the media. And I think he wants to enjoy the time right now with Central Florida, and he's down there, and they don't have a large media base that covers them. But when there's extra media and they look like familiar faces, that head coach is paying close attention. And I tell you, the numerous trips down by newspapers to cover him did not go over very well because it's Central Florida time.
Yeah. How do you think that, I don't know, what can Nebraska fans then expect coverage-wise, access-wise from Frost that's different than Riley?
Well, I think it will not be, you got to come prepared, I think, when you're asking questions. Again, I think it'll be part T.O., I think it'll be part Bo. Riley was a dream to cover for 3 years. Because you could ask him a question, he'd answer it. I think Scott Frost, still early in his career, wants to coach football. He understands the other stuff that goes with it. But first and foremost, he wants to coach football. He wants to be around his players. He wants to be around his assistants. And I think the access will be, I don't know. I'm very curious to see, spring, how much of the practices are open. It would be great for the media just to get to know how they're going to run things, but I don't know that the head man will be so inclined to allow that. That's a fascinating storyline moving forward, but I do know, and guys, I've talked to somebody in the Central Florida Athletic Department that I know well that has kept me abreast on all this, that they are even a little perturbed about how many Nebraska media show up to cover their bowl game. And have no intention of talking about Central Florida. They're asking Central Florida players about Nebraska.
Yeah, there needs to be some me time for Frost and his team and for Frost and his new team. With our jobs being obviously to report and discuss and inform, but I have a respect level for there's some tape. Do not cross that tape. We'll let you cover, but this is my program. That's totally his prerogative.
And he's not, and that's the thing. He's not, what are you asking? I mean, any question you ask about Nebraska is going to be a bad question if you ask a player or a coach, because they have made it known they're there for Central Florida. Mm-hmm. When they're January 2nd, they're all yours. They're all Nebraska. I'm very uncomfortable with the amount of tension, because you know what happens on January 1 in that game? Yes, it'll be there'll be a lot of Nebraska talk, and you hope that Central Florida plays well. It's exciting. Guys look like they're having fun because there'll be recruits around the country going, okay, let me get to know these guys and this coaching staff, and you'll see them showing a lot of emotion on the sidelines, guys having fun. That's a big thing in Scott Frost. But on January 2nd, do we care what Central Florida did against Auburn?
Yeah, no. Nope. It's a really interesting,
Sharpie,
these are strange times.
Yeah. Sharpie, want to get your thoughts here on the Big Ten being 5-0. Are you surprised?
You know what? I hate to be Mr. like negative guy this morning. I'm not a big buy into the bowl games.
Sure.
Unless there's a couple of them that you're playing for a crystal ball. But Ohio State, and I know yesterday became the thing where, man, Ohio State proved they should have been in the playoff. Well, it just means every game matters during the regular season. And Ohio State's a really good football team, and they dominated USC last night. You know, Northwestern almost gave the game away. I think Purdue was very impressive,
yes,
and I think that's good moving forward. But I'll tell you the team that has really jumped out to me, and they're going to be scary in the East next year. Michigan State is back. After 1 year down, Mark D'Antonio has gotten things righted there. That East is going to be a very difficult division. And remember, of Nebraska's difficult schedule in 2018, Michigan State actually comes to Lincoln. So Michigan State has probably impressed me the most. I'm very curious. I think Penn State will show well. But, you know, I mean, it's great the conference is unbeaten, but it's still, they don't have anybody in the playoff, which is unfortunate.
You know, not to throw cold water on it, too. The record is impressive, but the fact that nobody was in the playoff sort of pushed all the Big Ten teams down and almost gave them advantageous matchups more so than if there was somebody in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you think there's something to that?
No, you're absolutely right. Because we've had in past years where the Big Ten hasn't gotten such great matchups, we've all kind of wondered why. But in this case, Purdue playing Arizona or Northwestern playing Kentucky, yeah, you're absolutely right. They've gotten some good matchups. I mean, the Big Ten has a bright future. You look at recruiting. You look at the young coaches that are in the league. The Big Ten definitely is back from a few years ago. They're trending up. Every Saturday is competitive in the league. But you got to be in that playoff. I mean, you can't be the Big Ten and not have a team in the playoff. And so I think the East is as difficult as it is, and I think the West will be back to, you know, being very competitive. You just have to knock off Wisconsin. But you can't have a division where a team goes unbeaten in the regular season and then gets beat in the championship game and really gets no attention post that loss like Wisconsin has. So there's a couple of things the Big Ten has to fix, but 2018 is going to be a very good year in the Big Ten Conference, even with some of the firepower that are going to go to the NFL draft.
Gary Sharp's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharper, we want to wish you a happy new year, bud, and thanks for jumping on with us this morning.
Hey, thanks, guys. Happy new year to all of you and all of your listeners, and, of course, great coverage. I can't wait for January 2nd. It'll be Frostmas, Nebraska, and we can all move on.
Go Knights.
Yeah, go Knights.
Hey, thanks, guys. Happy new year to you, and here's to a much better 2018 for all of us.
Amen, bud. Take care of yourself. See you. Thank you.
Can't be worse.
Gary Sharp's with us.
From a football standpoint, it can't be worse.
No.
Right?
It really can't. I mean, 4-8 in Nebraska, I was looking at this. They didn't win since the third week into October. It's the last. That's the last football win you have.
But by the way, hey, look, let's not act like things are going to go really well next year, though. Should we break down the schedule in a little bit? I think we should do that.
That's fine. We can do that.
I think we should do that.
And once you hear that schedule, if you feel the urge to go out and find a watering hole, get that sober ride home. And I'm telling you about what happens when you get a DWI. It could cost you up to $12,000 in fines, in fees, in jail time, and you'd be required to install that interlock device to your vehicle. So you're making plans to go out, please make that sober ride home your top priority. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. A quick timeout. We'll wind down a Saturday with Hail Varsity.
early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
One final time for 2017. That is weird to say. Back Tuesday, as we get cranked back up for another year of Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick, Colton Stone. Kranick, let's just end a little bit here on just the last 6 weeks, to kind of piggyback to what Sharpie was talking about, and just the frustration that the coach may feel and has expressed already about early on, you know, keep my family out of it, which totally get and agree with.
Yeah.
But just the coverage. I think there's a difference in being down there and fishing / probing versus covering and reporting.
Right. Staying out of the way, like, I mean, like, you know, a Brandon Vogel will do.
Right.
Right. He's not going to ask. Like, there's a World Herald reporter that asked Mackenzie Milton, hey, you're going to transfer? You're going to transfer to Nebraska?
And I'll say this about the World Herald reporter. I don't know him personally.
Oh, but you just but probably shouldn't ask that.
Well, that's fine. Up until that question, I respect his work.
Oh, totally. I mean, look, that Mike Bianchi, that Orlando Sentinel columnist, he asked the same question. Right. So it's not like it's just Nebraska media doing that.
Here's the difference, though. Bianchi's talked to Frost every Thursday for 2 years.
Exactly. And look, Nebraska media is being intrusive. Nebraska fans are being intrusive. The thing is, it'll all blow over eventually. But Frost is not going to be too happy.
What's your take on this? So if you're a Nebraska fan that's leaving for Orlando today or tomorrow to go support your guy, is that wrong?
No. It's an awkward situation. Frost wished it was not like this, but it is.
Yeah.
And Nebraska fans and media are weird. Collectively, we're weird.
You're so hungry for better times.
Yeah. We're a weird bunch. We care a little bit too much. We're like Lenny and of Mice and Men.
Do I get the Lenny reference today?
Well, yeah, we squeeze a little too hard. It's a strange bunch to deal with. And it's going to set things off on the wrong foot. But it's all right. It's at the end of the day, it's sort of outside distraction noise. What really matters is, what are you going to do to whip this offensive line into shape? And how the hell are you going to get through 2018? When you look at the calendar, we're sitting here like, oh, Nebraska's 4-8 this year. At least it won't be like that. It could be.
Here's the thing. 2 years ago, Notre Dame went 4-8, and they lost by an average of 4 points in those 8 losses. Mm-hmm. There's a whole hell of a lot of difference between our 4-8, i.e. Nebraska's, and Notre Dame's 4-8, just to give you an example.
Yeah, no, there is. But, okay, and I know we don't have a ton of time here, so I'm just going to go through the schedule quickly. And let's just chalk it up real quick. I just want you to answer win or loss.
Okay.
Akron.
Win.
Colorado at home.
Win.
Troy at home.
Win.
Okay, you're 3-0. At Michigan.
Loss.
Purdue at home.
Win.
Really?
Well.
4-1. At Wisconsin.
Loss.
4-2. At Northwestern.
Win.
5-2. Home versus Minnesota.
It's got to be a win.
So you think Nebraska is going to be 6-2 on October 20th with a new offense and a new quarterback? Okay. Hold on. At Ohio State.
Loss.
6-3. At home against Illinois.
Win.
7-3. At home against Michigan State.
Loss.
7-4. At Iowa to close it out.
Loss.
7-5. That's best case scenario right there.
Listen.
Troy freaks me out.
Fine. Listen, you can't lose to Minnesota and Purdue your first year at home.
Yeah, you can. I mean, it might happen. I'll tell you, one thing that gives me a little bit of hope. At Michigan, UCF, most rushing yards in the last 2 years against a Harbaugh defense. 275 against those guys.
You're going to have a whole new world of Harbaugh defense next year. They're going to be great.
Well, they have been for years.
Great, Ack. Have a great new year, brother.
You too, sir.
We'll talk to you next time. Thanks to Colton. Thanks to Sharpie. Thanks to Vogel. Back at you next Saturday.